Hey,
who can't hide it? God.
I see well, yes. That. What's up, bro? You good?
Why you let us bring our cameras if you got seven of them following you?
Nah, we work together.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I'm a big fan of y'all show. I genuinely watch y'all show.
Pretty sure.
Just watching the Kevin Hart interview the other day.
That's why I just can't be in the combat sport world, period. I feel like everybody's ultra aggressive.
Nah, they be fake aggressive. They don't really, they just be talking. You would think it would be like, like nobody do nothing to nobody. You never hear nothing happen.
You a $1 million thing, you know what I'm saying? So like now you gotta think about it.
Everybody can fight, so it's like you don't wanna have to just be keep fighting that can fight every time. We both can fight, so it's
right.
Like nobody really be doing nothing. They just be talking.
And that's the other piece too. They don't have anything to prove because they get a chance to do it.
Yeah.
You know, y'all get to step into the ring and settle all scores.
Like great white hype. When they started fighting at the end and Samuel Jackson was like, don't give them something we can make them pay for.
Yeah,
shit. Somebody will pay millions to watch this fight. Why y'all get this shit to them for free?
Yeah. When Dale fight, nobody need to buy no tickets. It's going to be 20 mother effers there that just know him. Sheesh.
No, for real.
So make sure we tight. We good?
Hey, you got it.
Always watch the room, brother. Hey, make sure we
know,
good.
I don't know. It's something about you because you know something. You know something.
Yeah. Hey. I can find that person every time. I know that face.
Something about you, I don't know where you from, but you're pretty good at scoping it out. You right.
Come on, we can sit down, don't say a word. And then just start looking around at people.
Hey, because when you that guy, you can't put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Listen, you gotta sit back.
That's T. My buddy's name's T. Mm-hmm. That's who does that for me. Mm-hmm. That's T.
He fight too, though.
He fight too?
Yeah.
They don't really hang around folks that can't fight, though.
I can't fight like you, but I can fight. I can whoop some normal person's ass. I can't whoop no boxer's ass. So what
like, he a professional. Like, he 8-0. His name is Amari Jones. He 8-0. 7 knockouts. So he, you know, he the truth, too. He the next one up, so.
What about a middle school legend that was whooping ass 9 years
old? Oh, yeah, that's cool, too. That's cool, too.
Hey, not when he 40.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I father here to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up. On a mission, get me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I father here to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, get me up. On a mission, get me up. Knowing me, I got the key.
Welcome to the show. Freddie T. Chan. I'm RC. Here with lightweight champ, Devin Haney. 29-0, a flawless record, and you've done it in a way that's shown nothing but being a professional technician, a high level of skill, and you've actually made fighters who people consider high-level fighters look like B and C-level fighters. You know, you can look as recently as your last two wins over Kambosos. To Happy Dad, we appreciate your partnership. DraftKings, thank you for being a sponsor of the show. For all the people that watch and subscribe, we're extremely grateful. I want to get kind of to it, man, because this show is about learning about the person. We've watched you fight. We'll talk about that as well. But, you know, being a Bay Area kid, but also kind of like Chan was talking about a middle school legend, like you were throwing hands young and you were getting into fights. And then your father said, okay, we're going to, if you're going to throw hands outside of the ring, I'm going to bring you into the gym. What did that moment, or how did that moment change your life?
At that moment, I didn't know that it was changing my life. I just felt like, all right, like my dad, he said he wanted to take me to the gym because I was fighting in school. I'm like, all right, like, I don't care. I'm not tripping. Because I always just like naturally knew how to fight. Well, at that time, I felt like I knew how to fight. So now that, you know, years and years later of hard work, dedication, and sticking with it, who knows where I would be if it wasn't for that. You know, I definitely feel like I would have went down the wrong road. Just because I was just getting into so much trouble at a young age.
What do you feel some of those anger issues were, or why do you think you had them at that time?
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like I didn't really know how to, like, you know, like, where to put my energy, like, you know, where to put, like, you know, my love to fight, my, you know, my aggression, where to, you know, put it. And my dad, you know, he chose the right sport, the right thing for me to, you know, get all that out.
Y'all moved to Vegas because of your career, right?
Nah, we moved to Vegas because just we come from Oakland, California, mm-hmm. where it was just a lot of violence, a lot of, you know, shootings, a lot of stuff. So it was like we came to Vegas for like a better life.
Yeah. As a young athlete, that like when we play football, you ain't no 9 year old that you gonna make it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. As boxing, you were ranked as a kid.
Yeah, but at that time, you know, we just like it. We still didn't know like you know how far I could take it, or we wasn't really that dialed in with boxing. It was just really just to leave open just for a better life. That was the main thing. Like we would have boxed forever. Like we really wasn't that as serious as we got when we were in Vegas, and that just comes from it being the boxing capital of the world and being so many gyms and like people are serious about boxing in Vegas. And in the Bay Area, it's not really that many boxers. Now it's starting to be more and more, but at that time we only had Andre Ward, and that we never really had no big boxers come out of Oakland, so it was hard to really like look at somebody big from the town.
You've been fighting since you were 7, and like RC said, you're 29-0, and boxing sort of taking this entertainment approach. You got football players getting in the ring boxing, you got YouTubers boxing, and you have someone like yourself, passionate, dedicated, been doing it your entire life, yet you have to fight under a Logan Paul, a YouTuber's undercard. Does that sit well with you?
No, I mean, at that time when I did do that, when I did fight on the undercard of Logan Paul, it was like, it was a good opportunity because they just had so many viewers. Like, I think it was the first YouTube boxing match. So it was just a different audience, different crowd. I think that, you know, the football players, athletes, the influencers coming to boxing is good for boxing. Like, you know, it's making boxing even bigger. Boxing is evolving because of that.
You speak of boxing evolving. You had a different route. We hear all the time about the boxers who get opportunities to go to the Olympics and they fight amateur. Lomachenko, who you'll be fighting, he fought amateurs for a while. He has 2 medals in the Olympics. But for you, you chose to turn professional extremely young. I think they moved the Olympic age up.
Yeah.
And you were fighting in Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what was it, El Perro Salado?
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you being so young fighting professionally?
It was crazy, you know, to be fighting in Mexico. And I was really one of the, like the first ones to really like make it kind of cool to go to Mexico. At that time, the Olympics was the big thing. It was to go to Olympics, go, you know, try to get a medal, try to go sign with a big promoter, you know, for a good signing bonus and go that route. But, you know, me and my dad set out to do something different. We switched it up totally. And that is because they changed the age of the Olympics. So it was like, man, we might as well just go pro. And because I was sparring a bunch of pros, like world champions at that time. So that's what we did. And it was crazy being such a young kid as a professional, but it worked out.
You know, you do a lot of stuff young. Is it true you knocked a kickboxer out of his Velcro shoes?
Yeah, when I was like, it was my first sparring match. Like, as a kid, I didn't know what I was doing. I really was just street fighting. And it was like a little kid, he had like some Velcro shoes on. I knocked him out of his shoes.
It's crazy because you're talking about you going pro and, you know, just deciding that early. What's the pros and cons of that? For that young boxer out there right now thinking about making that decision of when to turn pro and do I do amateur? Like, what was the pros and cons?
So like, with that was, I could have went to the Olympics and I feel like I would have did good in Olympics. I could have got a gold medal, could have got a silver medal, could have got a bronze. But, you know, that sets you up for the pros. You can go sign with a big promoter and start making money at a young age. I didn't start making money until my 19th professional fight. So I was fighting for nothing. I was fighting for free. And but I saw the bigger picture. I knew that like it was gonna pay off eventually.
You like to keep all your money with you on your neck?
If I kept all my money on my neck, boy, hey, my neck would be so heavy.
Hey, so we're talking about you being so young, doing all these amazing things. It was also brought to our attention that you were the youngest promoter too.
Yeah.
What nurtured that mindset?
Yeah, I mean, just seeing somebody like Floyd, who you know was. Start his own promotional company. And, you know, me and my pops, we was like, man, we might as well do it ourselves. That way we can control our own destiny. It's never like a reason why a fight couldn't happen or, you know, this side. Now in boxing, they got this thing called on this side of the street. If you work with one promoter or one network, you can't go mess with another promoter or whatever the case may be, where you just cut yourself short. But I trusted in myself. I felt like I was a good enough fighter and I would be big enough that eventually I would be able to control my career.
And you bring up your father, and he's y'all. This y'all. He's your. What is your father? What's all his titles in your life?
Oh man, my pops is everything. You know, he's my best friend. He my father. He my Man, he's everything, man. He plays all the roles, whatever role he needs to play. So I'm thankful for that.
I've seen this movie already. I've seen what Roy Jones Jr. with his dad and had to break off to win the title.
Yeah.
Shane Mosley, him and his dad would, you know, they were together, and I think they broke up. And then how do you and your father work together as a son-father combination, also as business partners, but it's your career, you out there taking them punches.
At the end of the day, you know, you got to know that balance, you know, when to be a dad and when to, you know what I'm saying, business is business at the end of the day. So we don't ever put the personal with the business. We know how to separate the two. And I just come from experience. I'm not going to say that we just had to, everything's been butterflies and rainbows. You know, of course we bump heads, but we bump heads as partners, and we need to father-son relationship out of it, and we get over it.
I remember, because we were talking about your chains, I remember my mom had my financial advisor's information at one point when I first got in the league, and she came up to me 1 month and she said, Channing, you spent $100,000 partying last month.
Sheesh.
And I said, I earned it, and I walked into my room. And that was, I'm saying that because that was the moment where just financially I earned it. That was me telling her, like, it's my money. I'm a grown man. I'm going to do what I want with it.
How much you spent in the strip club?
$99,000. The rest was clothes. Because I don't really wear no nice clothes, but I'm going to throw some money. But the out-of-the-ring stuff with your pops. The chains. Like, your dad ever look and be like, hey, D, you need a ninth chain, a 12th chain?
His money, my money, my money. So, you know, I can't tell him what to do with his money. He can't tell me what to do with mine. You know, we separate two. Right. You know, he get his, I get mine. What I do with mine is what I do with mine.
With that, though, and speaking about the relationship, and, you know, we've got an opportunity to kind of laugh at some of the dynamics. He, for a period of time, couldn't get a visa for the first Kambosos fight. And it was one of those times where you guys were working. He said during that period of time, of all of the things he's accomplished, raising you is the one he's most proud of. Mm-hmm. When you hear that, what does that make you feel?
It's a blessing. And at one point when I was a kid, I used to like just want to make my dad happy.
The reasons he couldn't get the visa, he learned from those things and wanted to instill a different form of success, a different form of lifestyle for you. And he did that. And for that to be his proudest accomplishment, not necessarily the fighter you are, but the man you are, when you think of him loving you in that manner, what do you feel?
I mean, like I said, when I was a kid, man, I just wanted to make my dad happy. Like, I used to just, like, try to train hard just to make my dad happy. I used to try to spar good just to make my dad happy. Everything was just to, like, to see a smile on my dad's face. So just to, you know, come this far and to for my dad to be, like, genuinely happy with, you know, the creation that he made, the what he's, you know, made in me, and the man that I've become is a blessing. I'm happy. I'm happy and proud of that.
That's awesome. Dev, so this is my boxing question. I love the sport. I love, like people say, the sweet science of boxing. Because of mixed martial arts and UFC, that's a little bit more barbaric, where you see guys get knocked out. Fighters like yourself have started to be criticized for being a tactician, for understanding how to hit and not get hit. How does that affect your approach to fighting?
I mean, that's the art of boxing at the end of the day. That's the sweet science, to hit and not get hit. I mean, it's easy to go, you hit me, I hit you, I take one to give you one. Anybody can do that. Anybody that doesn't even know how to fight could do that. But to be able to hit you as many times as I want and you not be able to hit me, that's an art. That's like, you know what I'm saying? That's like a Picasso to be able to do that. And at the end of the day, I got a family. I want to, you know, have all my senses, everything to be good when it's time to go out. So I'm gonna continue to do what I'm gonna do, rather they like it or not. As long as I win and keep beating these guys easily, I will.
Talk to me a little bit about late in the fight against Linares, though. Mm-hmm. When you're winning handily, he hits you, and it's a different thing when you get hit. It's okay, he took a hit, or this guy caught up to him. Will they continue to catch up to him? What's going through your mind when you're walking to your corner in between that round?
That was my first time ever being hurt, ever being wobbled, anything in my life. So, you know, you can't believe it. It's like a moment of shock. But once I sat down, I gathered my senses, everything. I said, okay, I'm going to tie him up, because that's what you're supposed to do. Why would I go out and go mano to mano? You back to you hit me, I hit you. Let's see who can knock each other out. Because and I'm hurt. What sense do that make? No, I'm gonna tie you up until I get back right. And when I'm back right, then we can go back to fighting. And that's just experience at the end of the day. No great fighter has had a great career and not been hurt.
It sounds strategic, and it is. It's strategic, sweet art. Y'all are talking about it. But there's people that say you don't have knockout power, though. Mm-hmm. What do you say to those people?
Yeah, I mean, the people that say I don't have knockout power is the people that don't be in the ring with me. The ones that get in the ring with me, they never say that. We could go watch. Go watch every fight. Go watch what they say after the fight. They never say that. And if I don't got knockout power, come show me then. Come walk through all these punches that I'm going to give you. And then we'll see. Every fight that these guys is face beat up, eyes swollen, bloody, all that. So, man, as long as I'm winning, I got this far without knockout power. Shit, let's keep going with it.
Ride this train.
Hey, D, I want to quote something you said in 2020. I'll tell you this. I will never lose to a white boy in my life. I don't care what nobody got to say. Fight a white boy 10 times, I'm going to beat him 10 times. But I'm going to say this. None of us in here believe you're racist.
Yeah.
That's just off top.
No, not at all.
We grow up under certain circumstances where we see things, we hear things, and that becomes a part of us. Yeah. Could you elaborate on those comments just for anybody that's listening or watching this?
Yeah, I mean, I could see how some people could interpret it the wrong way. So, I mean, it's nothing for me to really explain it because I already, you know, apologized to the world about it. So it's not for me to keep trying to, you know, dig into and keep explaining. At the end of the day, it wasn't the right thing to say, which they interpreted wrong, but it is what it is, you know.
I think that's one of those lessons that the things we say amongst ourselves that are culturally understood,
right,
we can't say publicly, because publicly those things will be critiqued and torn down in a different way.
To tell the truth, it wasn't the right thing to say, you know, just openly to say it, because race doesn't define how good you are, or, you know, it's many great white fighters, as many great Mexicans, Hispanics, black, whatever, around the world. And so it wasn't the right thing to say, but the way it didn't come out the right way. And I'm far from racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body. My stepmom is white, so she raised me. So, you know, but it is what it is.
In that apology to everyone, you said you're chasing greatness. That process is never easy. Mm-hmm. And you've done so much. You're 29-0. How do you continue to stay focused, you know, so you can get to that point where, you know, you can join the elites, you know, the Floyds, the Undefeateds, those greats, the Mikes, the Alis. What's the process? What is going to take for you to get there?
When I set out to do this, I didn't want to be just a mediocre fighter, or, you know, anything that I was going to do, I was going to be the best at it. You know, I want my name to be remembered forever with the greats. I want my name to live on much longer than I ever will. So, you know, I'm doing the proper things that I've seen the greats do. You know, the work ethic, the discipline, the things that I've seen them do, I'm doing.
You know, you talk about being mentioned with the greats. You wanted the Lomachenko fight 3-4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when he was at the top of the pound-for-pound rankings. And to now be at a point where he's almost chasing you.
Yeah.
He was the hunted at that time. Now you're becoming the bigger name in boxing, the bigger name at the weight class. When you look at what he'll be fighting for and trying to gain back, what are some of the pitfalls to fighting a fighter as experienced as he is?
Every fight, you know, we gain experience. And most of the guys that I've been fighting, you know, they have at the top level have had more experience than me, because I'm the youngest guy. So each fight, I take experience from this one, this one, this one. So, you know, experience matters. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just feel like I'm the better fighter overall, faster, stronger, bigger, more athletic, and you know, I got youth on my side. So when I'm victorious, I will take his experience and, you know, add it on to my belt.
So when you look at boxing, especially at your weight class, you have Tank that's in the weight class, you have Garcia, Teofimo Lopez, yourself, Lomachenko. There are so many names. What is it that makes you feel, of all those names, you can not only be the biggest star, but the best fighter?
I just think that these guys, they don't train as hard as me. When they don't have the work ethic like me. They don't have the discipline like me. They don't have the skills, the ring IQ. I'm really a student of the game. Like, since a young kid, like, I can tell you boxing in and out, like, the greats, like, way before my time. So I just feel like I'm just naturally, God made me different. Like, I'm really one of the chosen few. And I was born to do this.
How much film do you watch?
When I was young, I used to watch a lot of film. Like, I can tell you, like, about greats and slavery days. Literally. Now, to be honest, I don't watch as much boxing as I used to. I tend to watch myself more than anything.
Why?
Or just to critique myself.
Why don't you like watching other people?
I don't know. I don't know. I just don't really like the fighters today. Don't really like entertain me. They don't really excite me. I don't really get like.
That's funny, because my next question is going to be, do you think you get the respect you deserve?
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think that I get the respect I deserve, especially with me being so young, the youngest undisputed champion of all time, the guy that's not ducking or dodging nobody. I've been wanting to fight whoever, whenever, however. I don't feel like they give me my just due. But this happened to all the greats. They didn't get their just due. And, you know, eventually they did over time. And I think I will over time. So I'm not sweating it. I'm just going to keep beating whoever they put in front of me.
Yeah, and the politics of boxing is something that everybody has to understand when you're in the game.
Yeah.
What's the most frustrating part about the politics?
See, with the politics of boxing, it never really affected me because, like I was telling y'all earlier, when it was politics, I went to another network. I went to another promoter to make the fight happen. So what that tells you what type of fighter I am. I'm willing to go with this promoter, this network, that network, just to make a fight happen. Go to Australia twice, take less money, do the proper things that it takes to show the type of fighter I am, to show that how great I am.
You said before that, especially going into the second fight against Kambosos, which you had zero to prove, but you knew you'd beat him the first time, and because of the clause in the contract, you'd have to go over there and fight him again. And you said you did that to make the fight happen. In boxing, a large critique of it or a negative has been the best fighters don't fight one another. Yeah. You know, we're still waiting for Errol and Bud. Obviously, we have Garcia and Tank. They settle that score. Now you and Lomachenko. What do you think boxing can do better to make sure that fighters of your caliber get the type of matchups that make y'all stars? Because you know, you're a historian of the game. The reason boxing was big is because we saw Hearns and Hagler. Yeah. We saw Hagler and Leonard. You saw Leonard and Roberto Duran. What do you think boxing needs to change to make sure that happens?
Fighters gotta want it at the end of the day. We the bosses. We just don't know it, or we don't even push for it. But we got to say, if a fighter really wants to make the fight happen, then they'll press to make it happen. But fighters will just use the excuse of their promoter or network or something like that. And sometimes it's true. I'm not saying that it's always the case, but for the most part, we need to try to control our own destiny, try to control our own careers. You know what I'm saying? We're not under an organization like the NFL or like NBA or nothing like that. Like, we have the say, we just don't, you know, express it enough.
But isn't your thought process, with being respected by a bunch of 40-year-olds, isn't that old school?
What?
That fight anybody, anywhere, anytime? Like, people are strategizing their careers, and you seem like you old school. Walk him out here, I'm going to knock his ass out.
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, that's definitely, I'm definitely a throwback fighter when it comes to that. Not many fighters do that, but not many fighters want to fight, you know, each other. They want to try to get most money for the least tests or the, you know, the easiest fights possible. And not all fighters. I'm not here to bash fighters or nothing like that, because there's some fighters out there that when I want to fight the best and want to test themselves and are fighting the best. Look at Canelo. He going up and down weight classes, and guys like that are doing it. But it's just some fighters who don't.
Is it smart to not play the dance around, strategically find fights?
I mean, it depends how you look at it, because we could change the whole dynamic of boxing and make it like the UFC. Those guys fight each other, lose, fight again, still equally as big, may even be bigger after a loss. Look at Israel Adesanya. He lost and then came back, won, and now he even bigger than he was before. Yeah. But just because he lost and then he came back and proved himself. So we could change the whole dynamic of it, but we're not. You know, Floyd kind of, like, of course Floyd made the boxing bigger and everything, but he kind of messed up the game with the undefeated record, and undefeated is everything. So guys don't want to fight each other. They want to keep the oath.
we spoke about guys just talking the talk, and we said it was cap. A lot of fight this, fight that.
Yeah.
But when you hear comments coming from Shakur Stevenson and then Garcia saying they want to fight you, Channing said you might feel somewhat disrespected, like you don't feel that respect that you've earned. But when you hear those comments, what does that make you feel like?
I think that that's given me the respect that I earned because so I remember it was a time when guys wouldn't even call my name. Like, they was like, they wouldn't even act like I even existed. So it's like a compliment that they mentioned my name, that they say my name, because it's like, yeah, I'm the guy. I'm the guy with everything. I'm the guy with the belts. So you better mention my name, because if you don't, then I'm going to say you duck it. I'm going to say that you're scared to say my name. So now that they say my name, I can't be mad at it. I'm happy. That's good. I embrace it. And I want to make those fights happen. So yeah, it's a good thing. People were looking at me like, oh, you're not mad? Nah, I'm not mad at all that Shakur said my name. Good, good for him. He's supposed to say that.
Right.
That shouldn't be frowned upon now. Nowadays, you call a fighter out, they get mad. Ain't this the fight game? Ain't we supposed to be fighting each other? Ain't we supposed to be calling each other out?
How old are you again?
Hey, but he act like he's 48, don't he?
He was born my rookie year. Just say that, 98. Yeah.
No, Fred, if he was born your rookie year, he'd be 40 by now. Like that, it's your...
You're lucky we don't curse on your show too much.
And that's a lie, we do. I'm just glad you don't cuss me. You mentioned earlier the dedication you have to the sport, your work ethic, and obviously when we cracked open the Happy Dad, you mentioned your faith.
Yeah.
How much does that help you in continuing to be disciplined? Because it's so much in order to honor what you need to do as your faith is concerned, it can help you from falling into some of the trappings that come with being a big time boxing star.
Yeah, I mean, Islam has definitely changed my life, and it just keeps me grounded all around. Like, you know, Allah is looking at everything, that every decision that I'm making, and it keeps me grounded. It keeps me disciplined, not only, you know, for boxing, but just for life. So outside of the ring, when it's time to celebrate and everything, I'm still disciplined.
I don't know all the rules of the nation, but do you have to work around things while training?
Yeah, so we have a time of Ramadan where we fast, and I always have a fight around Ramadan. So I can get the excuse of saying, you know, God, you know, this is my job. It's how I feed my family. I can't fast right now. And, you know, just basically excuse me, or I could make it up after Ramadan. And that's what I do, because it's just too hard for me to train. I'm training 3 times a day. Wow. So I can't, it's hard for me to fast and not drink any water and make all my prayers and everything, which I try to make all my prayers. I try to be the best Muslim I can be, but it's hard for me to fast.
It was just a show on what's that basketball player?
Magdoud Abdul-Rauf.
Yeah, he got criticized.
Really?
He wasn't putting his hand over his heart and different things, you know, for the national anthems and all. Yeah. And he got criticized. But now, does anybody care? You hear anything about your religion?
No, there's so many Muslims around the world that they just, we embrace each other. Like, all the Muslims, they embrace me. I embrace, you know, any Muslim that I see. I'm not even familiar with him, but I will embrace him and, you know, maybe reach out to him. I wasn't familiar with him. But, man, so much support from the Muslims around the world.
Does fasting include abstaining?
So you're not supposed to have sex sun up to sundown unless you're having sex with your wife during Ramadan. You got to be married to have sex.
And we had Caleb Plant on, and I don't know if it was Channing. We asked him about his training camp, because this is the freaky dude right here in the whole situation.
I ain't lasting a night.
He said, man, if he had
to... I'd be on FaceTime with my wife at the hotel last night.
This dude crazy. Yeah.
This is what it is. So, and there's so many hards you can get, I ain't always none of mine.
2 every night.
Got 2. That gets you cleansed back out.
When you was playing, you would still almost every night?
Yeah. That night before the game, now you got to go, you know.
That's why he has 17 knee surgeries.
Listen, they would put all this on me. I don't know about all that.
He was having back problems.
What's that?
You see why they said Scottie Pippen, he was having back problems? Because
he was stroking.
Girl said 4 times a day.
That's a lie.
You also got to think about this.
That's a lie.
That's a lie, right?
That's a lie. Nobody can have sex 4 times a day. Every single day?
And a lot of this sex he's talking about is with himself, too.
Oh, okay.
92%.
Yes, man.
Yeah, you know, like Islam, we're not supposed to even watch porn. Man. We can't watch porn.
I don't get that part. I get being faithful. I get a lot of things. I don't get not being able to pleasure yourself. It's yourself. I feed myself. I wash myself.
But you're watching other people.
What if it's just one person?
What do you mean?
If she's just dancing and OnlyFans.
That's porn.
Devin, he is going to find a way around the rules and the beliefs.
Yeah, he's going to bend the rules.
He's going to weave, man. He's going to weave in and out.
But what was your question? What you was?
Oh, nah. So in training camp, I was like, what's your cutoff? Because Caleb told us he's at 8 weeks. He does nothing. Too much.
So, yeah, I used to do that. I used to do the eight-week thing. And I couldn't do it because I started getting, like, wet dreams when it get closer to my fight. Like, one day I had a wet dream the day of the fight. So I couldn't do it.
Y'all might be brothers because he horny too.
That's the best dream.
No, because,
who want a regular dream?
You know, like, when you got, like, too much testosterone, when it's, like, too much built up, then your body's going to find a way to release it. So when you go too long, that's too long.
Brahma bull. Some horses are made to work. Some horses are made to breed. We're breeders.
So,
We got testosterone in us. We breed. We make babies.
You never want to be in any sexual category along with Channing.
Yeah, nah. One day is, like, ridiculous. Like, even out of training camp, I can't, like, every day? Nah, that's crazy.
Not like a great performance jumping off the nightstand. You got a quickie? In the bathroom, she doing her hair.
I be trying to prove myself. When I go.
See you young. No, you don't always got to throw your best pitch.
I make them crazy.
You ever seen a changeup in baseball? The guys throw 99 and throw that little 78.
You throw the changeup, yeah.
Sometimes you got to throw a changeup on the plate.
100 miles an hour fastball.
So you just heat every time.
I'm proving myself. I'm young. These girls gonna talk bad about you if you don't. So they can tell the next.
So my dog, I'm not gonna have a BDR out there. There will be no bad penis reports.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't be out here, man.
But for you though, in becoming a star, obviously social media now as well is such a huge thing to continue to brand yourself. I mean, you walked in here with 17 people, 14 cameras, a boom mic. In having that, how do you deal with making sure the main thing stays the main thing, but also being a young man your age and enjoying life?
I just think that, you know, Islam keeps me grounded, keeps my head on a swivel, you know, makes me not get too far ahead of myself, not too arrogant, too flamboyant, fearing God. And, you know, trusting in that, you know, what God can give you, he can take away. What Allah, everything that Allah has given me, he can take away at any given time. So I continue to work hard for it, to keep it, you know, because I knew that one day I would be here. I knew everything that I got. I knew that eventually it would come. So now it's just about keeping it. And I want to get more and more and more and more.
How do you feel about being in the spotlight with having people not only wanting to know about who you are as a boxer, but who you are as a man? You continue to mention the Islamic faith, and you mention Allah, you mention all the things that you know God has given you, but you are in a world where if you are dating somebody or if you get into an altercation, it's your face that's plastered over. People now begin to praise you. How do you continue, aside from the faith, how do you continue to have humility in that, or did you always want this level of fame?
When I was young, I used to think, like, it was, like, cool. Like, damn, like, I want to be, like, famous. I want to be lit. I want people to, like, wonder, want to know about me and everything. And then when I got it was like, oh, my God. Like, I can't even, like, go on a date with somebody without, like, just, I could be, it could be our first date or just us getting to know each other. And we might be at Mastro's or wherever. We might go out to dinner and the world say we together. So, like, that's, like, where it's, like, damn, like, you know, you can't even just get to know somebody and go be a regular person. Somebody see you out, they take a picture, send it to a blog, and now all of a sudden you dating that person, and now you take on the responsibilities, or what, they can go be out with somebody the next day and they cheating on you, or you go be on a date with somebody else and you're cheating on them. So that's the only thing that's one of the things that I'm like, oh my God, I don't like. But it comes with it, you know. It's hard to say you want to be the best fighter in the world. You want to have the money and everything, but you don't want people to know you. You don't want people to look in and microscope on your life. I mean, it all comes with it. So I'm thankful that I'm in this position, but it does get annoying.
You know, Mastro's is hard. I heard sometimes Dubai can be hard too. Like, if
what's Mastro's?
Mastro's is a restaurant.
Yeah.
You've been to Mastro's before.
Oh, I have.
You've been to Mastro's.
Oh, so I thought he took girls to the Applebee's.
No, he don't go to Applebee's.
No, I will go to Applebee's. Yeah, I will.
I like it. And do you have entourage on your dates? Really? Is it you and the lady, or is it a whole fleet of people?
Nah, I mean, I'll go by myself. I'm, you know, but most of the time it'd be just like me and my security.
You got a little security. That's hard on a date though.
No, he won't be on a date. He'd be in the car. He'd come peek in, make sure everything good. Could come, you know, do his wellness checks.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now he's not gonna sit next to me. We can both be on a date.
Looking around. Yeah.
You know, you ask the chick, oh, what you want to drink? Yeah. And she ordered her drink. What you want, John?
But I will go on a date by myself.
But just that fame of, like, that's why I'm asking, because about that fame, like, not even being able to go on a date by yourself.
Yeah. I will go on a date by myself, but typically not. But like I said, it's hard to go on dates because every time you be on a date, somebody say y'all together. So right, you gotta just
stay at the house.
Nah, and then you can't even bring it. You can't even bring everybody to your house because you don't even know somebody. So you just getting to know somebody, you gotta bring them to your house.
We talked about your pop, your dad, you know, wearing all these different hats. At what point during your career, as you started to, you know, rise up to superstardom, at what point did he say, look, there's a big distraction out there. Not just the fame, the money, this and that, but those women. When did he sit you down and wear that hat?
So, like, when I was a kid, I couldn't have a girlfriend. Like, I couldn't have no girls, no nothing. Like, my dad,
he was focused like that?
Bro, my dad was so strict. Like, he was strict. Like, he was like, nah, like, girls is a distraction. Like, I couldn't really go to that many places because my pops, like, he instilled in me, like, at a young age, like, girls is, like, distractions. We never had to have that talk when I was grown because it just never was a problem. Girls never was one of my problems.
But even going in a relationship with that thought, doesn't that hinder your ability to have a long-term relationship, a real relationship?
I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe.
There's some gold diggers out there. I dated plenty back in my day. Yeah. But then I met my wife. You know what I'm saying? It was a difference. But if I went in with my wife like I did, you know, the girl in the red dress Friday night, I would never be married right now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you're going to have to change that when you get older?
It's just experience, you know, like with anything, you know, you got to just go through it, experience. You could tell me, but I got to experience it for myself.
That's
so right now I'm just going through the experience, that's weaving true. It out.
You've spoken about your father a ton, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have children as well. And that relationship to me is one of the most important relationships I have. I do have two girls, but my relationship with my son is extremely different. The way that we have conversations, the things that I could tell him about myself and be vulnerable, mm-hmm. so he understands. We just share in a very different way. You didn't grow up as much with your mother,
mm-hmm.
because you know you were raised with your father.
Mm-hmm.
That experience and not necessarily having a close relationship with her, did that affect you in any way?
I always had like a good relationship with my mom. I just didn't live with my mom. My mom like was always like in my life. She was, but just from a distance. So I can't really say like, you know, my mom was somebody I could call, somebody I could, you know, whenever I needed to talk to or hear a woman's point of view. Cause it's different when you just hearing a man's point of view every time. Sometimes you need, just as a young man, kid, whatever, growing up, you need to hear that woman's voice. You need to hear that woman's love. So my mom has, you know, been there for me for whenever I needed that.
That's important too, because pop seems like no nonsense, especially when you were younger. And I grew up with my parents being kind of both my best friends. And I knew when I needed to go talk to my moms, and I knew when it was a conversation to have with my father. You know,
when I was young, when I was a kid, I was scared of my dad for so long. Like, bro, I was scared of my dad until I was like 18 years old. My dad really pumped fear in me. So, like, no, it was like, but it wasn't even like my dad just like, he could just yell at me. He could just talk to me and it would just like fuck up my whole day because it just was like my dad. Like my dad was like, his voice meant everything to me.
That's the respect you need though.
No, 100%. And like, even with today, like my dad, I feel like you know, we in a way different position than when I was growing up. Like at that point, it was like the pressure was like on me, like, nah, you like, we gotta make it. Like this is like, I got my family on my back. So now, like, seeing my little brother, my dad's much more like, you know, my little brother do what he want to do for the most part. He go to football games, he kicks it with girls, he do this, he do that. Like he's living the life as a kid. And so he has a successful big brother who give him whatever he want. And then he got a dad where my dad will go to sleep at 8 o'clock at night. So, you know, once you go to sleep at 8 o'clock, Mike's still young. You know, he can go do whatever he want to do. He go sneak out. Not saying that he do do that, but he do do that. So you know, my dad's like, he older. You know, we successful. We financially good. So, you know, he don't really depend on my little brother. My little brother played tennis. He's a good athlete, but he don't have that type of pressure like I had growing up.
Speaking about your father, y'all both put in thousands of hours of work at mm-hmm. this thing. Mm-hmm. Has that hug happened, that we made a hug? Is it going to happen? Is it some goal in the future? But all the time you and your dad have put in, has that big hug happened?
For sure. Yeah,
When was that?
Man, me and my pops, believe it or not, we hug all the time.
But like, that big one, that one that all this shit done paid off.
Nah, I'm telling you, we have that. Like, we have, like, real, like, you know, hugs and, like, real, like, I'm proud of you. And, you know, we have that. But when we was growing up, my dad never used to, like, really give me that. Like, and not like he was strict, not like he was like that, like he was just so hardcore. But, like, I used to just be, like, wanting that from my dad. Like, he was there, like, 100%, but it was like, I used to be like, Dad, like, did you see that? Dad, did you see that? Like, do you see what I did to him? Did you see that work I just put in? And now when I get older, like, now that, like, I get them hugs consistently, it's like, it's everything for me.
It's amazing for me, man. And I think we need to celebrate that more, you know, in our community. You know, yeah. When you look at the demographics, you know, or at least what the media, how it's portrayed, you know, in the Black community, the fathers aren't present, this, that, the other. So it really warms my heart sitting here to see your face, because I've seen you from way afar, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a pleasure to meet you and chop it up in this space. But, you know, you can look at, you know, you're young, you're doing your thing, you're winning. To hear you talk about your old boy, like, damn, you know, the humility, the respect you have for your dad, the discipline, those things that he's instilled in you, and you're going to take those further. I think it's great for people to hear that.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, not have any shame about that and praise and promote their dad. But I say that to come to this. Have y'all been in that ring together? Have y'all sparred or done anything?
No, we never been
you
in
there. You put your hands on him?
No. We never got to that point, but we didn't got to that point where we didn't, like, you know, took it there where, you know, he talking crazy, I'm talking crazy, you know, where it's just at that point. But that's just regular father, that's, you know, father son, where we just so passionate. My dad be so passionate. So it'd be like, you know, Pop, who are you talking to? And then, or something, it might be just something I say where it'd be like, you know, but it's true love. And we made that, like, oath with each other. We may say something, but we never put our hands on each other. We never take it to that point. If that's the case, all right, Pop, I'll see you later. I ain't hear what you're talking about before we get to that point.
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned your little brother. A lot of times, as parents, we just know what we know. Mm-hmm. And when he was raising you, he understood what he understood, and he raised you the best that he could. And I think you feel that, though.
Yeah.
And you give him the respect and the love that he earned by doing that. And now, with your little brother, he might look at it and say, man, Devin always wanted those hugs. He was like, Pops, did you see it?
Yeah, yeah.
So now he could give it to him because he understands how much that matters.
For sure.
You taught him that. Trust me, we learn from our children. Yeah. I've learned so much from raising my babies.
It's no real rule book on how to be a dad. You know, it's just experience. So
we
went through it with, I got an older brother as well. Went through with him, and then me, then my little brother, and got a little sister as well. So yeah, I'm sure he has learned.
You know, the question is, and for boxers, there's always this greatest of all time or this best. You mentioned Floyd Mayweather early and how his record kind of screwed up the game, because for him, it was always about the zero, no matter what the number in front of the dash was. What is your ultimate goal? Like, when you sit back and Channing's talking about that big hug, what is doing enough where you can say, you know what, everything I meant to do in this realm, in this sport, I've done?
I can't really say, because it's just so far, you know, you make goals along the way, and you do one milestone and you set another one. So I'm just taking it one step at a time. I'm just, you know, I've been reading a book. It's called Chop Wood, Carry Water. Yeah, I heard of that book. Mm-hmm. To where basically, like, just, like, take it one step at a time rather than trying to just go, you know, look so far ahead that you get confused of what's in front of you. So, right now, like, course, I want to biggest fights in the world, but I can't get to those fights without beating Loma first. I got to beat Lomachenko. So I got to accomplish these goals ahead of me. And eventually I'll get there to be an all-time great of the sport.
Well, in truth, destinies change with accomplishments mm-hmm. and opportunities.
Yeah.
The more you accomplish and the more goals that you're able to attain, you normally get opportunities to up that ante, 100%. To get an opportunity or a chance to reach a different destination. So Lomachenko for so long was the standard mm-hmm. with the way he fought, defense, quick, pressure, late in fights. What is it going to take for you to go out and beat him?
I mean, I got to be on my A game. It's going to take, you know, the best Devin Haney on that night. It's not going to take, you know, me slightly on or nothing like that. It's going to take me being on point on that night, and that's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to showcase everything in my arsenal. It's not, you know, just one way I could beat him. I got to be able to bring out all the tools in my toolbox on that night. I got to bring every tool with me to the fight, and that's what I'll do.
We talked about Linares and being in trouble, and you mm-hmm. saying, you know, sitting down saying, okay, I'm going to grab him, I'm going to hold him until I get back.
Senses, yeah.
What happens with having adversity against this dude? Because this is a different level of accomplishment, a different level of experience, a different level of skill. And this puts the name Devin Haney to me on a different tier
100%.
If you get this win.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fight game. You never know what happens. You know, you don't you prepare for it all, but you know, adversity may happen. You know, it's hard to swim without getting wet in the ring. You're going to get hit, and we just got to be prepared for it. And we hope to go in there and make it the easiest night as possible to go in there and to leave, you know, the way same way I looked when I walked in. But we're prepared for whatever, you know, he brings to the table.
To this point, what's been your biggest pivot in life? What was that one moment that could define where you are now?
I can't really say. I don't think I really have had that moment of where I could say, well, this is really what defined me where I'm at. But I can't really say.
No, it's fair.
I'm just like, I'm like my biggest critic, and I'm just like, nah, I need more, like more. Like, I need to go harder. I need more. I need to keep proving myself. So maybe just with me being just so just grounded and just like not like focusing on how much I've done and how much I, you know, my accomplishments.
Bro, you're not a large man.
Yeah.
But you got 5 belts.
Yeah.
What does, I mean, you have them on your shoulder, one around your neck. You had the joint across here, like a cross body bag. What does it mean right now to hold those belts and on May 20th, 2023, to put those on the line against Vasily Lomachenko?
Those belts mean everything to me right now because I'm the man of the division. Somewhere, it's what I wanted to be for a long time now. Loma was a fight that I wanted 3 years ago when I had no belts. He had one belt. I was his mandatory, and somehow the fight didn't happen. But now with him having to go through me and me being the man and me calling the shots and me, you know, making the calls, it means everything. But it was, you know, hard to get him, but it's definitely harder to keep him. So I'm happy that I'm in this position to prove myself. And I look to prove myself and prove that I am the man. I earned these belts, and I'm here to stay for a long, long time.
Bro, you're the undisputed lightweight champion. And here's, I got to agree with Channing on this. You said you wanted this fight when Lomachenko was the man. Mm-hmm. You just said it. I got all the belts.
Yeah.
I'm the guy.
Yeah.
Why you got to give him the fight?
It was personal for me. You know, one, I genuinely just do not like the dude. I think he's like somebody who it's not who he portrays to be. He's like very arrogant. He's very like behind closed doors. He's not the person that he perceives to be. And I wanted that fight then. And whatever, he went a different route. They said I was email champion. They said I was this. They said I was that. They said I have a real belt. And now it's like, I want to prove to y'all how much levels above him I am. This was the guy y'all chose. This guy y'all said was number one. He was pound for pound. He was this, he was that. Yeah, well, I'm that guy. So now I'm going to make him pay for what he put me through.
Let me ask, because I don't know, so forgive me for it. Who's in charge of keeping your belts? And if you retire yesterday, do you keep all of those
belts? Yeah. So like once you win a belt, you get to keep your belt forever. Like, you know, it's like a ring in football or something. So, you know, it's forever your belt. But, you know, sanctioning like to actually be the champion is if you lose, then the belt's gone. Or you retire, then it's gone.
Well, I mean, that's what matters. To continue to hold the belts, But I'm going to say this is for me. I've watched you fight. I love the fight game. I think you do it the right way. For people to question what type of champion you are when all you could do is whoever they line up in front of you, knock them down. Yeah. And you've done that at the highest and most elite level. But I am beyond impressed of the man you are.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Your father should be proud. Anybody that has any association with you should be proud, man. Continue to carry yourself like this. There will be other adversities just in life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You already know that. But you got the right type of man leading you, the right type of family around you, bro. And like, it was a blessing to sit with you, bro. Best of luck, man. We can't wait to see you do it.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Bro, he act like an old man, dog.
He got it down pat, boy.
Pops, you done got him.
He act like an old man, dog.
Real talk, bro. Appreciate you.
Y'all coming to the fight? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah, we got some tickets for y'all.
Hell
for sure.
Yeah. Oh, we appreciate that. Look at that, man.
Hey.
Hold up. Limitless. They can stomach cap pinning it. I father here to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. Only vision I can trust. Trust. Limitless. They can stomach cap pinning it. I father here to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up.